This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
That's right. You can't stop me. Like, take that. Yes, you can't stop me because we are moving forward. You are listening to The Kathy Barnett Show, where we are rooted in faith, fierce in truth, and unapologetic about what's worth protecting. I believe our faith is worth protecting. I believe our family is worth protecting. And I believe our country is worth protecting. And because I believe those things, you can't stop me. And not just me, but a whole lot of others as well in this nation. We know what is worth protecting. You are listening to The Kathy Barnett Show on the number one talk radio station in Philadelphia, covering most of the Mid-Atlantic. Here is the listener call-in number, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. You can see me right now if you are looking at YouTube. I love the people in the chat. You guys are so faithful. You turn in every weekend. I appreciate it. So, but call me, 855-839-1210. Before I begin, I just want to say, because it is on the top of most of our minds, and that is these flood victims, all of the flooding, the weather, the mayhem that is going on all across our nation from a weather perspective, and the innumerable lives that have been lost. I mean, just condolences to the family. I am very thoughtful, very prayerful for our nation and how we respond to that. And so I just wanted to say that at the very top, because that is on the forefront of my mind and so many others. What you're going through is not hidden. It is not irrelevant. It is real. And I am so sorry. And I am very prayerful for you and your family. So with that, I want to turn. I was looking at, you know, trying to keep up with what is going on in our nation for some time now. It didn't just happen in these past 6 months. But Donald Trump, his administration in these past 6 months, I mean, good God almighty, they are running at marathon speeds of just so many accomplishments. And I'm so very grateful. And there's a lot going on globally as well. And there's a lot of tension, a lot of pressure. And let me just tell you, I have more than once paused and thanked God that as our nation is going through some good times and some very precarious moments all around the world, this tension that is rising all around the world, I'm extremely grateful that we have someone like Donald Trump, his administration in office versus the previous administration, and God knows versus Kamala Harris. So I am very grateful that as we try to right this ship called America, that we have someone like Donald Trump. I think he has done an exorbitant amount of good. But I was just looking at just this week alone, trying to keep up with the news stories. It's like trying to drink water from a fire hydrant. Let me just rattle off some of these. So Donald Trump sues the Wall Street Journal and Murdoch and News Corp, Dow Jones, the chief executive, Robert Thompson, two of the Wall Street Journal reporters, suing all of them for the largest defamation case ever, by far, a $10 billion defamation lawsuit over the story they published, Wall Street Journal published, that he sent this incredibly ridiculous birthday note to Jeffrey Epstein. None of it is in keeping. I don't know if you guys have read it. If you read it, call me, 855-839-1210. But I quickly glanced over the alleged birthday note that Donald Trump allegedly sent to Jeffrey Epstein for his 50th birthday. It is so utterly ridiculous. It looks so much like a deep fake. Like, what in the world is going on? It's so dumb. And yet they publish it saying this is from Donald Trump to Jeffrey Epstein at Jeffrey's 50th for his 50th birthday. So anyway, Donald Trump is suing them now for $10 billion. But also this week, calls to unseal Epstein grand jury transcript. You have. So A.G. Bundy apparently is moving to unseal the 2019 Epstein-related grand jury transcripts, followed by, with this call to unleash or to release these transcripts follows Donald Trump calling his supporters stupid, ridiculous, former supporters trying to gaslight us. Clearly he doesn't know who we are, really. And that followed him, sending out all of that and saying and making those statements, followed him sending out a letter, a Truth Social, saying, get over it, move on, there's nothing there. And that followed the DOJ closing this investigation, saying, hey, there's nothing there. Move on. There's nothing to see. Jeffrey Epstein was charged with sex trafficking. Ghislaine Maxwell was convicted of sex trafficking, but there was no one they were actually trafficking to. So move on. So all of these series of events happened and culminated with Donald Trump putting out acquiescing to the voices of his actual followers, acquiescing to them, bending the knee and saying, OK, I'm going to ask the DOJ to request from the courts to release the Kraken, to release the files. So we will see about that. Then you have, according to many. Oh, what was really interesting about the Jeffrey Epstein, Democrats, they're so thirsty. They're so thirsty for something, right? They have lost the plot. They have buried the plot. They don't even know what the plot is. They just grasping for anything. All of a sudden, Democrats are like, hey, we want to know who's on the Jeffrey Epstein list. Why can't we see the Jeffrey Epstein list? But of course, they were in the White House for 4 years, control all the branches, including the media, over for the past 4 years, had every opportunity to release it, didn't release it. But again, they're thirsty. They will drink anything right about now. And, they're looking for something to give them relevance with the people. But again, it's not the flex that they think it is. Followed by MAGA's quote unquote revolt. There is no revolt, but MAGA is pissed. We're going to talk about that. Also this week, U.S. and Venezuela prisoner migrant swap. So apparently the U.S. is exchanging detained Americans for Venezuela migrants that they deported to El Salvador. That was interesting. The House approved a $9 billion rescission package, so cut of our deficit of $9 billion. The Supreme Court green lights dismantling the Department of Education. And then, of course, like I said, we had the Central Texas flash floods, L.A. deputies killed in training for, so it just goes on and on and on. This week has just been one of those weeks where trying to keep up with what is going on in our country. That's right. I think it's Rosalie Hahn. You said Democrats are desperate. They are. They're thirsty and they're gaslighting. Did y'all happen to see the 4-hour interview with California Governor Gavin Newsom on what's the guy's name? Shane something. I can't remember. 4 hours of pure gaslighting. I could only make it through like the first 20 minutes. But the number of cuss words and man, brother, man, I'm just like, it reminded me of the founder of Facebook. What is his name? The founder of Facebook. OMG. What is his name? Yes, thank you. Mark Zuckerberg. Remember when Donald Trump won and Mark Zuckerberg came out with a curly afro, a gold chain and a black T-shirt, and he wore that same costume on like 25 different conservative leaning podcast, Joe Rogan everywhere. And he's talking about, yeah, I love shooting. I love big gaming. And just, you know, I can't remember the author. I think it was Allswell when he wrote this. It was a dialogue in one of his writings. And he talked about, here's a mask and you put the mask on and you morph your face to fit the mask. You are whatever you need to be. Another way of saying that, remember Tina Turner's song, Private Dancer? I dance for money. I'll do whatever you want me to do. That's what these people are. They're dancing. They are our private dancers. They will do whatever they think they need to do to claw their way up to the next rung of power. And they don't care that they look like a bunch of jackasses. They don't care that they look slimy and greasy and ridiculous. They don't care. They're uncouth. They have no moral compass. Their moral compass is, how do I step on whoever I need to step on to get to the next rung of power, whatever that is. I mean, I remember reading an article about Zuckerberg learning Mandarin to go and have a conversation with Xi Jinping because he wanted to be able to bring Meta into China. Of course, communist China is not about that and didn't give it. But I'm telling you, these people would do whatever you want them to do. They are our private dancers. Listen, we're going to take a quick break, come back. I want to kind of double click on several of these stories that I just spoke to you about. Here is the number, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Call me.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
What's up, Pennsylvania? This is your girl, Kathy Barnett, on The Kathy Barnett Show. The call-in number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I want to double-click on one of the news headlines that we put together, and that is where they're saying MAGA revolt over Epstein fallout. Disillusionment is growing among MAGA supporters, upset by lack of evidence that we're turning away from Donald Trump. He's lost the base. No, that's not the case. Here it is, okay, because I know this is very difficult for a number of people to wrap their mind around, but we are not bobbleheads. As much, yes, there is an element within on our side of the aisle who behave a little bit like they're in a cult, but that is not the entire MAGA base. So if I looked at the Republican Party, I saw this. I traveled the state of Pennsylvania. I traveled all across the nation, and I got a pretty good view of our side of the political aisle in the Republican Party. So if you take the Republican Party, it's like three different groups of people, and I would break it up by a third, and a third, right? You have a third who are, you know, many would call them the rhinos, but I would call them, these are people who have their hands firmly put on, firmly attached to the reins of power of our political party, the Republican Party. So you have about a third of those people, right? And then you have another third. Some may say they behave a little cult-like, right? No matter what Donald Trump does, he is almost akin to Jesus. He's not Jesus, but, you know, basically just trust in Trump, right? Like, there's a 3D plan. I mean, he's playing 3D chess, always believe the plan. He's never wrong. Just trust Donald Trump. Okay, that's that group. And I love them, sweet people, lovely people, right? But you recognize that basically he can, you know, call P Rain and they will probably believe it. And then you have another third. This is my group. This is who I am. I'm in, right? Like, Donald Trump is not Jesus to us. Donald Trump is a man. We did not vote for Jesus to occupy the White House. We voted for a man who is very similar to the rest of us, a flawed individual. But we believe, out of all the choices we had to choose from, this man will, he will push forward our ideas, our policies. and that he will listen to us. And so let me just frame what we're about to talk about now through the lens of, we did not vote for Jesus. This man is not perfect, but we voted for him because we believe out of all the choices of the Republican Party, this is someone who aligned himself to our values. We did not align ourselves to Donald Trump's values. This is a man back in 2016 who started speaking what we were already talking about, right? I did not align with Donald Trump's values. Donald Trump aligned with my values. I was all about America first before Donald Trump went down the golden escalators. I was all about making America great before Donald Trump took office in 2016. But here is a man who was speaking what we were all thinking. And he was speaking our values. He was aligning. He was contorting, doing whatever he needed to do to accommodate and to acknowledge and to speak of potential policies that we wanted. This is the person we voted for. And let me just say from the very onset, recognizing that he is not Jesus. He is not perfect. He is a human. He's a man. He's human just like the rest of us, right? There are good days and bad days, but we earnestly try to do what we believe is best. I believe that is Donald Trump. I believe he is doing what he believes is best. And what I really appreciate about Donald Trump is that even though he has his own thoughts, his own opinion, he is responsive to his base. Yeah. Now, yeah, yes, I saw where he called us, you know, like, this is stupid. The people who are falling for this whole Epstein list, it's a hoax and they're stupid and they're gullible and they just need to let it drop and I'm moving on. Everybody else just need to move on. When he saw that we're not moving on, like a leader who was hired to do a job, and he's responsive to the people who employed him. Newsflash, we don't have kings and queens and dictators and communist leaders in this country. Well, we do have them in this country, and they are running for office, and some people are electing them, but that is not who we elected in Donald Trump. We want him to listen and to respond, and that is what he did. And I think, if nothing else, that is, I mean, drop the mic moment. That's a good thing. Over the past 5 years, I mean, we've been living with people who thought, you know, who had that auto pen. I did a whole segment about Joe Biden having Lewy body dementia, in my opinion. Everything he was displaying, right? That his mind checked out a long time ago, and that we have unelected deep state operatives who are really running our country. I said that before it became popular to say it, right? And so and these people weren't listening to us. They were shutting down schools, shutting down businesses. Oh, yes, the strip joint and club and liquor stores can stay open, but churches, schools, and businesses, none. Oh, no, see. Y'all got to close down. They weren't listening to us, right? And so now we have someone, after living through those 4 years of hell, what felt like literal hell, now we have someone who has his opinion, who has his thoughts, and puts it out there and tries to strong arm people, but has whatever it takes as a leader to say, wait a minute, they're not listening. I need to respond to them in a manner that is appropriate. And he has done that time and time again over these past 6 months. So we have to acknowledge that. So there is no revolt. What you're watching, I know this is strange for a lot of you, but you're watching people who are not bobbleheads. One of the things that's interesting is that I don't think, you know, I think Donald Trump may be learning his base a little bit better. You know, I think we don't respond to name calling, right? So when you call us stupid, when you call us uninformed, when you call us conspiracy radicals, you don't understand, and I think most of the Republican Party don't understand who we are, that third that I talked about, who are not in a cult, who are not Republicans in name only, but you're talking about a third of people who love this country, who love God, who love our family, who love our country, and who will die on that hill of trying to protect the things we support. So when you call us names, homophobic, xenophobic, transphobic, you're not smart, you're uncouth, you're not. When you do that to us, what you need to understand is that we are completely unbothered by that. You need to realize you're talking to people who during COVID, and they were like, shut yourself down, wear the mask, don't open up your businesses, don't open up your schools, shut down your churches. We were like, hell to the no-no. We're not doing that. We're going to give you the finger, screw you, we don't care, right? Remember when Democrats were throughout the idea that if some of us who did not get the shot, the jab, if some of us actually contracted COVID, that if we go to the hospital should turn us away. Yeah, that's how demented and just evil those people are on the other side of the aisle. Remember when they were having that conversation? We gave them the finger and said, we don't care. Screw you. We don't care. Right? When, remember in Philadelphia when they came up with this Hitler-like ID card that you could only go shopping for food and come out and mingle with the public if you had a card that proved you were, yeah, that we were like, screw you. We will grow our own food in our backyard. How about that? We will go and get chickens. We will get our own. We don't care. You're not going to intimidate us. We're the people who remember when all this transgender stuff came out and these boys who were pretending to be girls, or maybe they just had a mental illness and thought they were girls, going into bathroom, recognizing they weren't girls, they were boys, and then they were raping little girls. Remember that in Virginia and how the father came and they were locking us up and putting us in shackles and kicking us out of building. Remember when the Department of Justice sent the FBI to go to school boards to try to harass people like me and intimidate us? What did we do? We gave them the finger. We don't care. Screw you. This is our country. A boy cannot be a girl. A girl cannot be a boy. You are harming our children. This is not right. Remember, that's who we are. So when you today, whoever you may be, want to try to call us names, call us uncouth, try to embarrass us, don't invite us to the Christmas party. What you don't realize is that we don't give a flying fig leaf on what you think about us. We don't care. We are completely unbothered because what we have realized is that yes, they're so sanctimonious, calling us names, calling us, you know, we're radicals, we're extremists. Yeah, we don't care. What we have realized over these past 4 years, if nothing else, is that we are right. You are wrong. Our children are not running around here taking, going to see a psychiatrist because you've confused them. Our babies are healthy. Our babies are thriving. Our babies are doing well in school and in life and being social and getting a life, getting started in this world. Yeah, we are completely unbothered. You need to understand that. I think Donald Trump is learning that. So we are not revolting. I am still 10 toes down for Donald Trump and his administration. I appreciate what he has done. I really appreciate that he is listening to his base. Now, does it mean he's going to always listen? Does it mean that this whole thing, you know, that there's not something there? Do we have time to play that clip? I found a really good clip. Yeah, just one clip. Just the one clip of the, I thought these two guys did a really good job of kind of summing up what we're looking at now, right? Because now we have Attorney General Bondi saying, okay, we're going to go to the courts, get the courts to release the paperwork. I don't know if this is a stalling technique just to try to cool the waters right now, try to cool off some of this steam, because we are people are going after Bondi. They're going after Trump saying, no, we want what we want. Like, he was charged with sex trafficking. Clearly, there's something going on. Do we have that? Go ahead.
President Trump, we are ready to move the court tomorrow to unseal the grand jury transcripts. Do we have any clarity, Kaylin, as to where this is headed? What could come of this?
Yeah, so it's a great question, because if you go online right now, you're seeing a lot of people, a lot of influencers saying that this is Pam Bondi's move to release more Epstein files, which in effect, if you're reading the tweet as it stands, it looks like she's moving to release more files. But the question that really should pop out to everyone is, what exactly can they do to compel a court to do this? As we saw from Trump's post, he gave a lot of deference to the courts if they're willing and able to release some of these grand jury transcripts or testimony, as he put it. So the real question is, you know, we haven't seen the DOJ yet make a filing or a move to release some of these grand jury filings. It's not even clear. They didn't specify what case this is, although the assumption is that it's the closed criminal case for Jeffrey Epstein, closed after his death, as it was never able to go to a trial. So we're assuming that it's coming from something related to that case. But the real thing that is perplexing is that this is something that the DOJ could have done a long time ago if it wanted to. They could have already begun this process. So it's almost giving off the impression that this is something that they're just now deciding to do, even after they released the memo and made it seem like that they were done releasing information for now. So it's quite perplexing from that standpoint, because you would wonder why they didn't do this before. And again, just because the Attorney General is saying that she's going to follow Trump's lead in order to do this doesn't necessarily mean that tomorrow we're going to be getting unsealed filings. Though I will say, it does come as, you know, people have been saying, from our reporting last week, we got Alan Dershowitz to say that this was not a DOJ problem, that it was a judge problem. So it seems
okay,
like...
Okay, pause it right there. So, you know, again, thank you, Mr. President, for going back and saying, hey, let's go ahead and try to release these files. But I think this guy... Kaylin Deese on Live Now, I think, what is it? Fox Live Now. I think he poses some really good questions, and it's the questions that we're all thinking. Well, why are you just now going to the courts and asking them to release these documents? Wasn't that a part of what you were already doing? Why are you doing it now, after the memo came out telling us there's nothing there, after the binders? Remember all the binders, you know? Yeah. Why are we doing it now? Is this just a, you know, a cooling off moment? Because now we're like, okay, well, he's listening to us, and he's, you know, like, they're going to get, Bondi is going to go ahead and get the information. But so between now, it's not going to be tomorrow that it gets released. So between now and 3 months from now, the cooling off, people have turned to other news. I don't know. But everything I said before still stands. This is the number. Call me. Let's talk. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. And I will see you on the other side.
This is Talk Radio 1210. WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Okay, this is the section of the show where I introduce the reprobate of the week. For those who are knowingly dragging the culture into decay. Yeah, they're reprobates. They're horrible, right? They're knowingly doing this and dragging our culture into decay. I have two here, because and one, I want to link it to this whole Jeffrey Epstein, because, you know, these things, everything has consequences. I used to tell that to my kids all the time. every action has a consequence, whether it is a good consequence or a bad consequence. It depends upon your action, but every action has a consequence. And as a consequence of Donald Trump and the DOJ, Pam Bondi and Don Bongino and Kash Patel and others telling us there's no there's no list. There are no people we can identify that Jeffrey Epstein trafficked children to. Yes, 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 we know he was charged and placed in prison on trafficking children to other people. Yes, 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 we know that 5 of the 6 counts that Ghislaine Maxwell was found guilty on, there were 5 felony counts related to sex trafficking and abuse of underage children on behalf of Jeffrey Epstein. That's what Ghislaine Maxwell was found guilty on. Yes, yes, yes. She was found guilty in federal court on 5 felony counts related to the sex trafficking and abuse of underage girls on behalf of Jeffrey Epstein. Here are the 5 counts. She was found guilty, not just charged, but had a trial, all the evidence laid out, and she was found guilty of 1, sex trafficking of a minor. So this will be the first time, if I believe Donald Trump, Pam Bondi, and the FBI, the first time someone was charged on trafficking and there was no person they were trafficking to, right? That's what they want us to believe. But she was found guilty of sex trafficking of a minor. She was found guilty of transporting a minor with intent to engage in criminal sexual activity. She was found guilty of conspiracy to commit sex trafficking of minors. She was found guilty of conspiracy to transport minors with intent to engage in illegal sexual activity. She was found guilty of conspiracy to entice minors to travel to engage in illegal sex activities. Now, what else do we know? We know that Prince Andrew, y'all remember Prince Andrew and his arm wrapped around Virginia Roberts? Yeah, Prince Andrew, after all of this came out, he was stripped of titles and roles. Back in 2022, he settled a lawsuit with Virginia. Yeah. So now we have the Trump administration, Pam Bondi, the FBI telling all of us, shut up, sit down, be quiet. Yes, they were charged. She was charged on trafficking children for sex as it relates on behalf of Jeffrey Epstein. But there are no people. She was just trafficking to thin air. There's no list. There's nothing there. Okay. We're not buying that because we're smart. And we know we're smart. We're right. You're wrong. Boom. But guess what? Ghislaine Maxwell is saying, well, hey, if there are no people that I traffic it to, if there's no evidence that I actually traffic it children for sex on behalf of Jeffrey Epstein, well, hey, let me file a writ of, I'm going to hope I don't mess this up, but a writ of, so she, oh my goodness, she filed a petition for the Supreme Court to review her conviction. Well, I mean, obviously, right? And she did this on April 10th, 2025, she petitioned the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, to review her conviction. Now, obviously, she was convicted December of 2021. She filed an appeal of her conviction in July of 2022. 2024, the court denied her appeal, affirming the conviction. And so she's going to just remain and rot in prison. But now that everyone is saying, hey, there's no there are actually, you know, there was no trafficking. Nobody trafficked anyone to anyone. Maybe he trafficked, but he trafficked to thin air. I don't know. And so she's like, well, hey, if that's the case, I want my case reviewed again. I'm going to the Supreme Court. Review my case. New evidence has come out that there is no there. That matters, people. So that is the first reprobate of the week. Do we have time for the second reprobate? Okay, let's do, here's the second reprobate for the week. Let me set this up properly for you guys, because here is Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, saying young boys need a gay man in their life for guidance, and that having only a father around just isn't enough. Hit it.
And that's one of the things that I think a lot of times boys need is not just exposure to one guy.
Mm-hmm. One dad.
One dad. It, no matter how good the dad is.
He can't be everything.
He can't be everything. And that boy may need somebody to give give the boy some perspective on the dad.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
One of the most valuable things I learned as a guy was I had a gay professor in college at a time when openly gay folks still weren't out of line, who became one of my favorite professors and was a great guy and would call me out when I started saying stuff that was ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
You need that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To show empathy and kindness. And by the way, you need that person in your friend group so that if you then have a boy who is who's gay or non-binary or what have you, they have somebody that they can go, okay, I'm not alone in this.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. That's what every little boy in America needs, a gay man. You're just not complete, dads. Dad. You can't do it by yourself. You need to go hunt down a gay man, because that is what your son has been missing, a gay man. Yeah. He believes, Barack Hussein Obama believes that being around gay men helps our little boys. Yeah. Yeah. Marinate on that. I didn't say it. He said it. That is just not enough. That we as parents, we come together, we try to build a, you know, I mean, being married is not easy. Let me tell you, you're taking two individuals who have been living their own lives with their own purpose, their own plans, their own agenda, and now you're trying to blend those two into one and say, we are going to be one mind, one body, one soul, one way of thinking. This is where we're going. And that's not an easy thing. So for those parents who say, hey, this is what we're going to do because we want to create a healthy, happy family. We want to give our children the best we can give them to before we launch them into the world to go and do good. Well, but Obama is saying, you know what? That's not enough. What you need is, what you've been missing, and you didn't know you were missing it, is a gay man. Yeah. Every little boy needs to have a gay man in their lives. Yeah, because a gay man's going to teach them something, daddy, that you aren't quite capable of teaching. Stupid, insane, a reprobate. Knowingly dragging the culture into decay. I grew up with my two brothers, no gay people in sight that we knew of, because of course, if you were gay, be gay. I don't care. You like it. I love it. Just don't try to shove it down my throat. That was the sentiment back then. There were gay people as we look back, you know, but everybody was just living their life. Be gay, do whatever it is that you do, as I do whatever it is that I do. And we just live our lives. But all of a sudden, you know, Democrats, they have no value of masculinity. They're not interested in men being men. They're interested in men using their privilege on behalf of quote unquote oppressed groups. That's why they tell women to raise your girls to be leaders, but tell men to raise your boys to be, I don't know, empathetic. So you need a gay man to teach you that. Stupid reprobates of the week. Okay, we'll be right back.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
All right, guys, this is the end. This is my week in review. Yes. How did y'all like that? Let me know. Follow me on Twitter @Kathy4Truth, Kathy for Truth. Rosalie, I'm looking at some of you guys' comments. My dad had two gay brothers. It was never discussed in our house. Exactly. If you want to be gay, be gay. I don't care. You like it. I love it. We all have our thing. We're all doing it. Nobody's perfect. We're all human. We're all searching. We're all trying to do what try to live our the best version of our lives. The problem is when you take your best version of your life and try to shove it down my throat as the best version of my life. I reject that. In America, when we have competing ideas, this is when we're supposed to come to the table and let's have a conversation about it. Let's hammer out what is the premise? What is your position on it? What's my position on it? And let's have a vigorous debate about it, right? But instead, what you get is, oh, you are phobic this or phobic that. Shut up, sit down, be quiet. And every little boy need a gay man. That's not true. And that is actually stupid. And I'm not doing that. You can do it. But for me and my house, yeah, we're not doing that. My babies are now growing up, and I am so very grateful to God that we live life according to our own thoughts and our own beliefs. And I'm looking now in hindsight, and I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. Listen, you are not crazy. You're not overreacting. You're just awake now. And now that you're awake, it's time to move, but not in anger, but in purpose, because faith is still necessary. Family still matters. And this country is still worth fighting for. Now is not the time to stick your head in the sand. Donald Trump and this administration need you. We all need to be informed. Opinions matter. Abraham Lincoln, what do I say every single week? Abraham Lincoln said it best. Opinion, public opinion is everything. With it, you cannot fail. Without it, you cannot succeed. So make sure your opinion is an informed opinion. Blessings. Love your family, guys. Talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.